This is a HeadGum Podcast.
You know what we love?
Feeling hot in a bikini.
Exactly. Ooh. Which is why we love Beachbody On Demand. Beachbody On Demand is an easy way to stream every single workout you can think of ever. For example, they have P90X, Insanity Workout, 21 Day Fix, T25, Brazil Butt Lift. I've never even heard of that, and that sounds incredible.
I would probably look great in my bikini.
I mean, they also have hip hop abs. You know I'm about that life. And 3-week yoga retreat and so much more. They offer the best trainers to help get you motivated and, you know, just get your body popping and ready for the summer. They also have the best programs, and it's just a really great place.
My favorite yoga instructor, Elise Joan, is on Beachbody, so you should totally look her up.
And the best thing about it is you have access to it anywhere, anytime. You can have it on your computer, any web-enabled TV, tablet, smartphone, Roku, Apple TV, literally anywhere. So anywhere you go, you can work out. Yeah. It's amazing. You don't need a gym. You have a trainer right there in front of you. It's the best.
Yeah.
Like, and the best part is,
and there's no gym at the hotel. You have it on your phone.
And the best deal in all of fitness is that our Lady Lovin' listeners can try it absolutely for free.
Wow.
Yeah. It's amazing. People can start doing hip hop apps with me.
For free.
For cool. free. Okay.
Is there a code?
Yes. You guys, I really want you to try Beachbody On Demand because it's so easy and you get to have a kick-ass workout from your own home. So right now, all of you lady lovers can get a special free trial membership when you text LADYLOVIN. Please note that this code is all one word with no spaces to 303030. That's 303030. Text the code LADYLOVIN for a free trial membership. Text it to 303030. You will get full access to this entire platform for free. All the workouts, the nutrition, everything. So just text LADYLOVIN to 303030.
Da-na-na-na-na-na, da-na-na-na-na-na, LADYLOVIN.
I still think we should record our own theme song.
I know. Welcome, everyone.
Hey, we're all in the same studio.
We are.
And we're actually releasing same day we're recording. So this is April 30th.
It is.
You're going to get the real shit of what's going on in our lives, in the world, the real responses. This isn't a pre-recorded month out episode.
We're eating chips for breakfast.
We are.
Also, I have to start off the top of the episode, sorry both of you, with a shameless self-plug.
Before we do that, can we introduce the show?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Welcome, everyone. It's Lady Lovin'.
Hey.
I'm Jilly.
I'm Greta.
I'm Lo. Hey, hey, hey.
And together, we're Lady Lovin'.
We're Lady Lovin'.
All right, Lo, plug.
Okay, here's my shameless self-plug for my women's wellness company, Love Wellness. We have a sale today only, since we're recording the episode today and releasing it today. Today only sale, you can save 25% off your order of $75 or more if you use code MONDAY25 at checkout. This expires tonight. So, like, if you're listening to the episode today, go get your stuff right now. Okay, I'm done.
Wait, I have a self-plug?
I have a plug, yeah. Too.
Okay, Jilly, you plug first.
You can follow me on Instagram at at Jilly Hendricks. Yeah, that's it. That's my shameless plug today.
My shameless plug today is tomorrow night, me and Blair Saki's show at Genghis Cohen in LA for free at 8 p.m.
Free?
Free. If you're in LA, I had some Lady Lovin' fans come last week. Come this week. Come tomorrow. It's really fun, really funny. And you get to hang out with me and eat Chinese food with me. And that's fun. And that's it. Those are all the plugs we have today.
All the plugs.
Those are the plugs. I'm going to be in New York this week for like 8 days. If anybody wants to come up to me on the street and just say, hey.
Lo, don't open up that floodgate because then people actually will.
A beautiful Lady Lovin' fan said hi to me at this restaurant in New York I love called Westbourne.
That's nice.
And she was like, Jilly. And
oh,
I was
can we
like,
go to Westbourne? I keep seeing it on your story.
I know. I love it. They have a really great latte and you know how much I love a latte.
How much
like,
do you love a latte?
I love a latte.
You love a latte?
A latte. She's like, Jilly. And I was like, hey, because I thought it was someone I knew. And then she was like, I love Lady Lovin'. And I was like, me too. And then I walked away.
That's nice.
It was cool.
That's nice.
It was a good moment.
How's everyone doing? Lo, you were on a trip.
Yeah. So I was in Tulum.
How was it?
I was in Mexico. It was gorgeous. Except I got so many bug bites. Literally 45. I counted them. I'm not over exaggerating that.
Mosquitoes?
Yeah, mosquitoes. And it's been, you know, like 4 or 5 days since I've been back, and I'm still like, my body's covered in like a
Zika?
Rash. I don't know. I was telling Jill in the car on the way here. I was like, we definitely have Zika. She was like, no, we don't. I was like, yes, we do.
I was like, girl, I'm trying to get pregnant soon.
Wait, were you on the trip?
No, but she keeps telling me I have Zika.
Because Jill went to Holbosch a couple months ago, remember?
In December. Mm.
Which is close to Tulum.
Yeah.
Side note, I'm actually not trying to get pregnant right now. I just mean like in the future, I'd like to get pregnant.
Well, I went to the Dominican Republic 2 years ago and definitely got a million bug bites. So if I got Zika, it like already happened to me. So yeah. It means that I'm safe to bake a baby.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's great. I would love it if Lo were my mom.
I would love it if Lo baked a baby. I think a pregnant Lo would be fun.
I think I pregnant like, Lo will be really cute.
You'll be really sassy, though. I feel like you're going to have a lot of hormones or some shit like that and just be like a terror.
I hope not.
I feel like I'm either going to like be one of those people that, I don't know. If I were to ever get pregnant, it would either be like I would have the best pregnancy on the planet or it'd be the worst thing on the planet.
One thing I wanted to address from last week's episode is we got some messages of people thinking that there was some tension between Lo and I, and I wanted to just say that we all love each other, and just like friends that you have, normal friends, sometimes you're more snappy at friends on certain days, but that is not like a reflection of our friendship or how we feel about each other. So I just wanted to throw that out there because I got some concerned messages and wanted to clear the air there.
Julie, I apologize deeply from my heart if I was mean to you or did something.
We were having a rough day last week.
We were having a rough day. I also want to say, Jill and I have been friends since literally we were 7. So, like,
we have a sister relationship.
Yeah,
we
like,
get sassy.
You know, sometimes we yell at each other.
But
and then 2 minutes later, it's fine.
There's a lot of love. So, listeners, don't worry. We love and we support each other. And that's what's so great about having friends and good friends is you shouldn't agree on every single thing. You should each have your own opinions and be able to discuss them and not feel like you can't speak your mind because you're afraid of what your friend thinks or that sort of thing, or they won't agree with you. I think it's nice to have, you know, healthy conversations that you might not always agree with a friend.
I agree.
So there's that, guys.
Me and Greta never fight. Just kidding.
What do you and Greta argue about?
I mean, actually, I'm going to tell you really something. I'm not
argue.
A fighter. I don't fight.
Me neither.
I don't even fight with my boyfriend.
I mean, you get saucy, though.
Yeah, I get, like, sassy, but I don't. Some people like to fight.
Yeah.
Some people communicate through fighting. I do not. Fighting just annoys me.
I'm not a fighter either. I like to just talk. I love to talk about everything. I got to talk it out.
I'm pretty, like, confrontational in the sense where if I feel like something's wrong, I'll be like, what's up? I feel like there's a problem. But
I don't feel like that's confrontational, though, in, like, the negative, in a negative way. I think...
No.
I think being willing to talk about if something's bothering you and just bring it up in, like, a normal way is really admirable, and it's like how you should communicate with people.
Yeah, I just have never, like, I don't really understand the point of, like, especially with friends, like getting into screaming matches with friends. It's like,
no.
What? I mean, my best friend, like my Lo to Jilly, is my friend Kenzie, and she and I can sometimes be like, have fiery conversations.
Sometimes Kenzie and I can
just get really like, it's just two opinionated people that feel comfortable being really opinionated.
Definitely. And I feel like, especially if you're, you know, people that have their strong beliefs, which we all do, it's easy to, you know, get to that place with a friend.
Also, I think that, like, you should be able to tell your friends exactly how you feel.
That being said, we do have an email about a friend breakup.
Oh.
Oh, really?
We do. So maybe that's the question that we should ask now.
Okay.
What's the question?
I've had a couple. Friend breakups.
Me too.
Let's pull it up.
Oh.
Oh.
Here we go. Jillie's like, let's pull it up, staring at me. I got it.
Greta's got the computer open.
I know.
She's in charge of pulling up the friend breakup.
Okay, subject is...
You look cute today, Greta.
Really? It's because I'm living in a house.
Yeah, girl!
So you got space, girl.
I have a lot of space.
You're a housewife.
She is.
Real Housewives of Hancock Park.
There was a point yesterday where Abe and I like went to the farmer's market, and then afterward Abe was like, are we these like old people? And I was like, no, it's fine.
Everyone's so afraid of that, but it's like, you know what? It's just love.
It's nice to settle into something.
I also just like the farmer's market. I like popping off
fresh fruits.
I love fresh fruits.
You're really
and flowers.
Into organic vegetables.
I know, it's I am. Chill. It's really nice. Okay. The pain of friend breakups. I'm going to have to summarize this one because our listener wrote us a long email. Okay, this time last year, I had a falling out with my best friend when she got her first boyfriend ever at age 24 and essentially became a new human being who I had very little in common with. She ended up saying a lot of terrible things to me. We never formally decided to stop being friends, but just sort of fell out with each other, and neither of us reached out once it became clear that things were beyond repair. I was not blameless in this. I was really jealous of her new relationship and was used to being the main person in her life, and I definitely projected that onto her. But some of the things she did were invite her boyfriend to a girls' weekend we had planned without telling me, and then made me sleep on the floor while they slept in the only bed. Sorry, that's not
burn
funny. Tell me she purposefully had not reached out to me on my birthday. What? Called me, quote, mainstream because I wanted to buy a Sheryl Sandberg book. Four, screamed at me on the phone and told me I'm too sensitive. This girl sounds awful. A year later.
I hate it when people say that you're too sensitive. It's like people process emotions completely differently.
I agree.
It's such a judgmental sentence.
A year later, on what is essentially the anniversary of the time we stopped talking, I am still dealing with so much pain from the separation. You know, she... loves her. She goes between missing her so deeply and feeling certain that she fucked her over and will never speak to her again. She goes on this emotional roller coaster. She never unfollowed her on social media because some part of her wants to leave the door open in case they ever wanted to get back into each other's lives. Mm-hmm. She didn't want to feel like she was just throwing her away. The problem is she does hold things against her. She feels abandoned, like she would trade her in for a boyfriend. Breaks her heart. She yearns for her every day and also feels resentful to her. She doesn't want her to be happy without her. Okay. How do you move on from friend breakups? Should I reach out to her and tell her I miss her this much, or should I let it go? How do I hold the memory of the friendship in my heart without feeling anger? If it's time to completely let her go, how do I cope with the stress of that?
I had a friend breakup. This girl called me once, and she told me that I was too fat to be on the hills.
Oh, yeah.
That's so funny, honestly.
The funniest line now coming to think about this, like, what, 8 years later?
I mean.
That's so weird.
As if it was, like, something you auditioned for, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, whatever. But you want to know what happened with her is we didn't have – she kind of did that, and I kind of took a step back and was like, this is not the person that I want to be around because she doesn't treat me right. She was, like, constantly doing stuff like that. And I think in this girl's place, it sounds like her friend is constantly, you know, not being a very good friend to her. And it's hard because you want to hold on to, like, the memories and all the good times. But it sounds like it's not sort of a positive environment for you. And I think it's really hard. I think you need to, like, let go and move on. And, like, I still think about this girl all the time. And, like, you know, we follow each other on social. And I, like, wish her the best. And I, like... you know, we like each other's posts and that sort of thing, but it's very much like, you know, it's sort of like you just kind of, your lives are going different ways and you're sort of, you know, becoming different people and you kind of just have to accept that. And like, that's a part of life.
Yeah.
Like, you can't keep all of your friends you had forever your whole entire life. Like, there's so many people that I've been friends with that you maybe we haven't had a breakup, but like, just because we're at different places or we live in different cities or we're going through different things, it's like you just... you know, you can't have every friend.
Yeah. It's difficult because it sounds like our listener, the person that wrote in, is really, you know, tormented by this and, like, is holding on to so much emotion because of it. And it's really difficult to be in a place where you know, you're allowing somebody else or something else to, you know, control how you feel on a day-to-day basis, or not necessarily control, but it's still affecting you to the degree that it is. And, you know, in my life, not necessarily with friend breakups or whatever, but, you know, if something is really plaguing you and on your mind constantly for more than a year, it means that you have some work to do to address whatever the underlying issue is, right? You know, you have things that you still need to process and work through. And I don't think that this friend, your old friend, sounds like necessarily the most kind person. It sounds like her level of maturity is, I don't know, maybe not where it should be at. And so I would direct this energy towards another friend or a counselor or someone who can provide you with some guidance on how to move forward, or us, you know, like, I think writing into us is a really good way to kind of like talk through it and to get some perspective, especially from some people that have been through this kind of thing before. And it's possible to put friendships back together, but I have seen firsthand that it can take a really long time to do that. And it probably is going to take her not being with this guy anymore, honestly, to put your friendship back together. Not that like we wish them ill or anything like that, but it just sounds like a bad situation. And you're both young, and it sounds like you've kind of evolved past each other, to be honest with you.
One other thing I wanted to say is all this energy you're putting into thinking about this old friend, like, you could be putting that into a new friend who's there for you, and you can be, you know, sharing activities and having fun and having a great relationship with a new friend. And I think that putting all of this, like, what if with this old friend is kind of preventing you probably from meeting other great people in your life.
I'm like dealing with codependency issues with my therapist. Like, that's a lot of what we talk about in my therapy sessions, just because I have, you know, a lot. I feel like I'm in a lot of codependent relationships where either like people really rely on me in a way, and just these tendencies. And the way that you're speaking of your friend sounds really intense, like that you toggle back and forth between missing her more deeply than you've ever missed anyone, and then certain things that she fucked you over a million times and you'll never speak to her again. It sounds like you guys had like a very codependent relationship with each other, and that when she got a boyfriend, you felt so betrayed by her. But in reality, like, we get into relationships, and no offense to you, but like, people's significant others kind of become their priority. And like, that's not a bad thing. That's kind of a natural transgression of progression of life. Like, we meet people that are significant to us, we fall in love with. And it's not that we let our friendships fall to pieces, but at the same time, like, you know, your friend probably does want to spend a lot of time with her boyfriend. I think that your friend sounds really fucking nasty from all the shit that she said to you. But I think that you need to take this as a second to, like, think about why you, you know, why you feel so sick every time you think about her. And, like, I started listening to Codependent No More. It's a very famous book on codependency. I just downloaded it on audio on Audible on my phone, and I've just started listening to it, and honestly, it like really, really helps. It's helped me a lot, just because you need to like need to understand that you can, these feelings will alleviate themselves and they will go away. I think a lot of these feelings are masks for other things you're feeling in your life.
How old is she?
I mean,
did she say
if they're the same age? I think she's around 25.
Yeah. That's also the time where I do feel like, too, a lot of friends start getting more serious relationships, and they do become a little bit more distant. And sometimes this is nice, though, because it'll open you up. Like, maybe you should be dating more, or, like, you know, if you want to be, or, like, you know, spending time becoming more independent. I think everything you said is completely right, Greta.
Yeah. It's just, you know,
Greta coming in with, like, the thoughtful vibes this morning.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm just over here trying to work on myself. You know what I mean?
100.
Okay. So are we good?
Yeah, I like, yeah. That's a it's a complicated question.
It is a complicated question. It's hard. Friend breakups are really hard. Friend breakups are just as hard as normal relationship breakups in a lot of ways, because we become really close to our friends and we love them.
Yeah. I've had a couple friend breakups that like happened years ago that just in the past like couple months I don't really think about as much, you know?
One thing I've been doing with all my friends is not being so hard on them. You know what I mean? Like, I think that sometimes we expect everyone to be perfect all of the time. And it's like, if someone really cares about you and loves you, it's like they're just trying to make it. They're just trying to function. They're just trying to get everything done. You know what I mean? Like, we're all just trying to survive. If you know that person's like a good person, you know, they're probably not doing something maliciously. So if they like, you know, fail, they hurt you at one time or they cancel a plan or something like that, it's like no one's really trying to do that on purpose. You know what I mean? So I think that that's also like a healthy place to be in. It's like take a step back and like think about what everyone's going through.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of our friends, like Lo and I share a lot of close friends, and I feel like everyone's kind of been going through, like one friend will have a really rough 6 months and the next friend will have a really rough 6 months. And I feel like we're all like really there for them during that time. And it's odd that it's been like one person and then she's fine and then the other person and then they're fine. But it's like, it's so nice to just have friends that are there for you.
I asked my mom yesterday, because, you know, it seems like the past probably 3 years I have had in my own life and in all of my friends' lives just these really difficult transitional moments that have been happening for all of us, to the degree that, you know, we become really depressed or develop really bad anxiety or like our stress gets out of control. And I asked my mom yesterday, I was like, does this ever end, or is this just how life is moving forward? Do you hit a certain age and just this is the status quo, or is it that we're just finally really in this transition where we're going from kids to full-fledged grown-ups? Because at this point, we're full-fledged grown-ups now. We're in our 30s, you know? And I think back to being in my 20s, and when I reflect back on that, you're really still just a kid in so many ways.
Well, I think
and, like, it's just, it. I just, can a listener who's older than us, like, email me back, because I have a question. Like, does this shit ever fucking end?
Well, I think what it is like when you're younger and in your 20s or whatever, you're kind of getting to that point where you're like, okay, you're like, as soon as I get to this point in my career, or as soon as I get to like own a home, or as soon as I get married. But it's like, you know, I think that that's the one huge point that like you're kind of waiting for when you're transitioning to becoming an adult.
Yeah.
But like after that, it's like, okay, then how do I pay my mortgage? Like, then I have kids. What if I can't get pregnant? Then I have to like, what if there's an issue with my child? Like, you know what I mean? And then it's like you go into like, okay, like my parents right now are dealing with the fact that like both of their moms are in their 90s and like they live in Michigan, and my parents go back there like once every 2-3 weeks, like a kid is visiting because they're not well. And it's like, that's their issue now. You know what I mean? Like, even after they sent their kids off to college and like, you know, they have a grandson and all of that, it's like, I do think that it, you know, when we're younger, we think that we're going to just get to this one place and then everything's going to fall in place. Yeah. But I feel like it's not. There's always going to be something. And it's like about managing that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that like, also, I think age is like not the best barometer for like growing up either. Like, when my mom died, when all that shit happened to me, I was forced to grow up in a way that, like, people that haven't lost a parent don't do until that happens. Like, you're forced to confront certain things that, like, you never thought you would have to until you were, you know, in your 50s or 60s and, like, had your own family and had all this time.
Or you don't think that you're going to have to do that alone. Like, you think that when that happens, you'll be with your partner and you'll be supporting each other, and you really had to go through that all by yourself.
I mean, you honestly just, like, if you have healthy parents, you don't really consider them dying kind of ever. You know what I mean?
Oh, I do all the time because I have OCD.
Well, you know that they're going, you know your parents are going to die, but you're not an irrational person and thinking that you're not living every day.
I don't know. Every time my mom leaves the house, I think that she's probably going to get crushed by a bus.
That's so fucked up.
Since I was a little kid.
Lo has had this thought since we were children.
Yeah.
My biggest fear was that
OCD fear of like random death.
Yeah.
I had OCD fear as a child really bad of getting kidnapped.
Me too.
And really? Of dying in a house fire.
I've never had those.
I always had the kidnapped one because when I was younger, there was this story about this girl named Polly in San Francisco. They got taken from her home at a sleepover.
Whoa.
So my parents were like, hey, like if someone ever comes up to you, like just you scream, you don't go. And they like told me the story.
I know what you're talking about.
And literally, I became fucking afraid of everything. I couldn't even go to a public restroom by myself, even up until like high school.
I remember.
Was like afraid to do anything. I didn't want to sleep at anyone's houses. Like I was so scared of getting taken.
You guys, I'm sorry. This is a total side note, but my phone is broken this morning. And my sister just keeps on asking me, why is your phone broken? And it's like, bitch, I don't know. I woke up and it just wasn't working.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't know what to tell her.
People need a reason. They're like, did you drop it? Did water get on it?
I mean, like,
you know what I mean? Drop it in the toilet. What happened?
It's like,
at least our computers are advanced enough now that you can text people on your computer and you can do Wi-Fi phone calls.
I know. It's just so... It's like, I wish I could tell her.
You want to know what I think is going to be the coolest thing that happens in technology, guys?
What?
I think pretty soon everything's going to be on Wi-Fi. So you're going to be Wi-Fi calling, Wi-Fi texting, and Wi-Fi internet. So there's going to be no cell phone service companies.
Oh, interesting.
So that's what I think is going to happen in 5 years.
Cool.
I think it's going to take longer than 5 years.
I think Sprint and T-Mobile just... One of
merged or something.
Merged. So there's your tech news for the day.
Let's on our tech news announcement. Let's take a break to hear a ad.
This week's episode of Lady Levin is brought to you by Squarespace.
Squarespace.
Squarespace. Squarespace. Yeah.
Squarespace.
We love having Squarespace as one of our sponsors.
Squarespace.
I feel like they're dedicated to us in the same way that we are dedicated to them. For example, my website, thelowdown.com, is built on Squarespace. I built it myself. And you guys can build your own website on Squarespace, too. So you can build any kind of website. You can have a blog. You can sell products. You can promote your physical or your online business or like your restaurant, even events. And they have amazing templates, right, Greta?
They're the best templates designed by amazing, incredible designers, award-winning designers. And you can literally have a website for anything.
Yeah. And Jill, what's your favorite part about the Squarespace?
The customer service.
Of course.
24/7 customer service.
Because you can talk to them all of the time.
Exactly.
At any time of the day. And also, my website's on Squarespace.
Yes, it is.
We're just a trio of Squarespace users.
You could say we are the Squarespace.
We're the triangle space of Squarespace.
Exactly.
Yes.
What's the offer, Lo? Give it to us.
Yeah. Okay, the offer. What's the deal? The offer is 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain, and all you have to do is go to squarespace.com/lovin for that free trial, and then when you're ready to launch, you get that 10% off your first purchase or your website. So like I said, code LOVIN, go to squarespace.com/LOVIN.
L-O-V-I-N.
L-O-V-I-N, and you're going to get everything to make all of your dreams come true.
I love going on trips.
Me too.
Me too. I just got back from one.
Traveling is the best thing in the world. It's the way we enrich our souls.
Traveling is like you get to learn a lot about yourself.
You do.
Your partner, the location, a new culture.
And you know what the best place, if you're planning a trip, the best place to go to is tripping.com. It's one search that lets you compare every single home from the world's top vacation rental sites in one place to find the best deal and your dream vacation rental.
I want that.
Yeah. Also, vacation rentals offer more. They're better than hotels. You get to stay at a house.
I love staying at houses on vacation.
You get more privacy, more space, everyone under one roof, more choices, fully stocked kitchens, extra bedrooms, and even hot tubs.
I love a hot tub.
Wait, you get a fully stocked kitchen when you get a house on tripping.com?
I mean,
maybe. Cool.
Maybe it's what it says.
Love that.
Best of all, at tripping.com, you can join the millions of travelers who find more savings with rates up to 80% less than traditional hotel rooms.
Cool.
So if you're planning, you know, a little trip to the beach in Florida, you want to go to Lake Tahoe, you want to go to Smoky Mountains, go to tripping.com. This year, save your time, save your money, and book the vacation homes of your dream. Go to tripping.com/lovin', L-O-V-I-N. That's tripping.com, tripping.com/lovin'. Find your perfect vacation rental at tripping.com/lovin'.
Woo, okay.
Wow, what an ad.
It was.
We're back!
Julie,
we're back.
Remember when someone wrote into you saying that it sounded like you were being held hostage when you read ads?
Everyone is like, why don't you do ads? So here's the thing. If we could do ads or we could just read them in the middle of the show, I think I could handle it. But on its own, my voice does not lend to like, hey guys, like, try this new product. Like, it just doesn't work.
Okay, Julie.
So that's why I don't really do ads, but you know, maybe we'll switch the programming where we read it during.
Did someone really write in and said that it sounds like Julie? Sounds like she's being held hostage.
But it was also funny because the ad was for Fresh Direct, and I got so many messages about Fresh Direct and from the ad. So I think that maybe it could have been a good thing.
It worked.
It worked.
Okay, you guys, this next question that we have is also about closure. And I chose this question because I have a lot to say about this. Not a lot, but I have a few sentences to say about this.
After we talk about closure, can we talk about being open?
Sure.
Yeah.
I feel like we're getting so many emails lately, all the emails that we read, and they're all about endings. And I think people need to focus on the positive and the beginnings.
On the beginnings? That's
so
nice.
So after this closure, let's do that.
All right, okay. Let's do it.
I have a question regarding something Lo was talking about a few weeks ago about needing closure from her ex in order to move on. My ex and I have been broken up for a little over a year now and dated for 2.5 years. When he ended it, he absolutely broke me and the situation got much worse when less than 6 months later, he was engaged to the girl he dated before me. This brought up a bunch of questions like, was he cheating on me? Was he never over her? Was I just a placeholder? I think about him every day, and a part of me still loves him. I've heard that she gave him an ultimatum, and I'm so confused as to how we could move on so quickly when earlier that year we were talking about marriage and moving in together. Can I contact him and ask him if he was cheating on me / ever really loved me, or am I just going to look desperate at this point? Tired of thinking about him and questioning our entire relationship. Thanks for all the help. P.S. She is also from Spain and possibly could just be trying to get a visa.
Okay, well, I think that you can write him a very civil email that says, hey, listen, I'm really struggling to move forward, and I would really appreciate it if you would take the time to, you know, talk to me as a friend, you know, because I'm trying to move forward with my life. It's clear that you have moved forward, and I'm still struggling with a couple questions. And I would position it that way instead of just, you know, coming at him willy-nilly, like super emotional, because people don't tend to respond well in that way. I think that if you position it where, like, you need his help to move forward and to get closure, then you'll be more successful in, like, getting the answers that you need. I think the reality is that he may not answer you in a totally honest way because he probably does care about you and he doesn't want to necessarily hurt your feelings. But I think that it doesn't really matter. What my therapist and I talked a lot about with closure was that when you don't really have the answer, it's okay to create a story in your mind to create closure for yourself. You don't have to like go fucking buck wild with a story in your mind, but you can come up with something that allows you to find some peace and to move forward. So whether he actually provides that for you or not, you're going to have to make that decision. But I would urge you at some point, once you speak or not, to hold on to something in your mind that is the truth for you and to allow that to be the thing that moves you forward. And my guess, honestly, just from reading your email, is that he probably did really like you a lot. And he probably also was not over his ex-girlfriend the whole time. Because if somebody breaks up with you and gets engaged to somebody that they've already dated before, it's a clear indicator that there's just a lot going on there that hasn't been resolved. right?
My point here would be, I'm of the mindset, if someone is engaged or married, you just have to let that go. Because that's the decision that they've made to sort of, you know, that's a real indicator that they're moving on. And yeah. I think that, you know, if they got engaged, you guys have been broken up for how long? For 2.5 years?
No, they've been broken up for a year.
They've broken up for a year. And he's been engaged to her for at least 6 months then. Yeah, I think you just have to let this go and you have to move on. Because I think that you're not going to get closure from him. You need to get closure from within. And that's the hardest thing to do. But this guy's engaged with, and I agree with love, if he was dating her before and then he was dating you and then he's engaged to her now, like, you know, he went back to the other thing. That kind of means that that's his decision.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, mean this to come off in like a hard way, but I do think you need to just try to find closure on your own because he's not going to give it to you.
Yeah. I also think you just need to ask yourself, like, what is here? Like, if he did cheat on you, do you really want to know the answer? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, no, that's going to hurt you more. Like, if he didn't really love you, is that what you want to hear to, like, move
also,
on?
If
no.
If he married her for the visa, no. Like, that's, you're just kind of, you can't keep, you can't do that sort of thing. You have to just figure out how to have closure.
Yeah. I think Jillie's totally right. When somebody makes a decision to get engaged to someone or to marry somebody, it's sort of like, fucking,
it's
like,
done.
It's done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It doesn't matter for what reasons. It doesn't matter what he said about her before or, like,
or if it's for a visa, whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you can't touch it anymore, as painful as that is. Like, he's made one of the most serious life decisions you can.
Also, and, like, again, like, you heard that she gave him an ultimatum. Okay. You know, there's nothing you can do. Like,
yeah, I think
it doesn't matter for you. This isn't your life anymore. Like, you need to really, like we're all saying, you need to figure out a way to move on. And I personally don't think that talking to him is going to give you anything that you're looking for at all.
I think you need to take yourself out of the narrative because you're kind of like, she gave him an ultimatum, that's why. She needed a visa, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're coming up with these excuses instead of just saying, which is really hard to say, this man has chosen to be with this woman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's like a really hard realization to come to. But I think that it's going to be a lot easier if you can just get to the place where you can look in the mirror and say that and try to heal.
I agree. All right, maybe don't email him.
I don't think you should reach out. I do not. Because
nothing
good.
After we talk through it, I agree.
Nothing good comes from that, you know? And like, I've been on both sides of the... I've been on both sides. I've been on the sides where I've really wanted closure. When we first started recording this podcast, I was dealing with that fucknut that was cheating on his girlfriend with me. And it drove me fucking psycho. Like, he drove me crazy. Like, I had to...
And now look at Greta. She's living in a new home with a man she loves.
Yeah, but then my ex-boyfriend, before the man I love right now, was seeking a lot of closure from me. And I felt like I honestly couldn't, there was nothing I could say to him that
would make it okay.
Would make it better.
Yeah.
You know, all that I could say to him was like what I could say. And he kept on thinking in hypotheticals like, did I cheat on him? Did I do this? Did I do that? And to which you can only say no so many times. And then like the person needs to just like believe you or not. So I kind of felt like on the opposite end, I could only tell him so many times, you know what I mean? The same thing. Like he had to find that closure in himself.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on.
Shall we do that sexual question we got?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Hold on.
Lo, do you want to read it?
Okay. If Greta pulls it up.
You know, we just get so many emails, babies, that I'm just trying to... Okay. Wow, this is another sex question. Can we read this one too?
Yeah, do you want me to read this one first?
The queef one? Do you have it on your phone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or I wanted Lo to read it. Because she has a proper voice, so I thought it would sound. Okay. We just had to do some major adjusting that didn't need to.
Should I read this one in like a fancy voice?
Yeah, that's what I wanted.
Okay.
Read it in a fancy voice.
The subject of this email is queefing.
Dun, dun, dun.
Here's the message. Hi, I would like to remain anonymous for this, please.
You are, girl.
Long-time listener, first-time emailer. So she has this huge fear of queefing during sex. She's recently begun having sex with this guy who she really likes, and the sex is amazing. However, she feels that she's holding herself back in some positions because she's afraid she will queef. For example, doggy style is her favorite, but I'm so vulnerable when we do it. My mind is constantly thinking about fucking queefing. I guess my question is,
fair.
How do I get over this fear? Or what's something cute and sexy that I can say when, if I do it? She feels like if she copes with it ahead of time, then she won't be so worried about it. All right. Apologies for the laughter, because then I realized that this was actually a serious question.
Any sort of, you know, to feel uncomfortable having sex is the worst thing in the world, because you just want to let go and relax and have an orgasm and be yourself and just feel sexy and enjoy it. So I think that no matter what the issue is, whether it's this issue or how you feel about your body or whatever, to feel uncomfortable during sex sucks. So I think that's what we have to talk about.
Okay, but just, you need to know that when you queef, it takes two to make you queef. Like, it's
totally
air being shoved in your pussy when you're fucking. It's not like you're farting on him, you know what I mean? It's literally air being
compressed air.
It's compressed air.
Does that happen to you guys when you have sex?
Sometimes.
I mean, it has, yeah.
It's never happened to me.
And
I never even thought about it. The thought never crossed my mind, and it's never happened to me.
Some guys think queefing is really hot. Some guys have a thing for queefing.
Guys think anything disgusting during sex is hot.
Yeah, girl, if you queef, just say, stop fucking pumping air in my pussy.
Yeah.
That's not, I think, something delicate that she was looking for.
Well, I have said things like that, like Greta said. Like,
I think
why are you, like, fucking me like that? And, like, if you just do, like, a little giggle and just, like, whatever, nobody cares.
Or you could just say, like, yeah, you did that.
Yeah, that's hot.
Yeah,
that's
horny.
Just make it sexy.
Queefing is just like, it's not like, again, it's not like you're like shitting on his dick.
Totally.
You're just releasing air.
The thing
air is
like
coming out of your little puss.
With sex, weird shit happens. Like, your bodies are rubbing up against each other. Like, you're doing different things. Like, you know, I think that if he knew that you were holding back because of this, he would be like, what are you talking about? You
totally.
Know what I mean?
100%.
So I think that you need to just try to, like, you know, let yourself go a little and realize that, like, whatever happens is not going to be the end of the world. Like Greta said, you're not, like, pooping on him. Like, you're not, like,
even
doing...
if you were to poop on him, probably
yeah.
not the end of the world.
Exactly. Like, none of this is the end of the world. None of this is make or break for a relationship. None of this is means that this man's never going to talk to you again. You know what I mean?
It's just the queef.
But you do need to get comfortable. And also, you know, sometimes when I've been uncomfortable with certain things, you know, in the bedroom, I've talked about it, and it's literally made it go away completely. And the guy's been so nice about it, you know? So
yeah.
I think that, you know, if you're comfortable, why don't you just talk about it with the guy that you're having sex with? I mean, if this is someone that you have a great chemistry with and you really like, you should feel comfortable enough to talk about this stuff with him.
Yeah. I think you can literally just randomly, when you're, like, driving in the car one day, be like, literally just, like... It would be really funny if you guys were just sitting in silence in the car and you were like, I have an irrational fear of queefing when we are fucking.
Yeah.
Any fear that I have with the guy that I'm dating, I literally ask him 45 questions, and then I ask him, like, all about, like, past stuff. Like, you know what I mean? And he's just like, why? This is crazy. Why are you asking me so many questions? I'm like, I don't give a shit. Tell me everything. Like,
who cares? I am always so concerned about, like, how my pussy tastes.
Yeah.
I'm very concerned about that. Like, the other day, having a sexual moment with my boyfriend, and all that I could think about was the fact that I was dehydrated. And I was scared that because I, like, hadn't drank enough water, that my vagina was going to taste crazy.
Hmm.
And I legitimately thought that. But then I needed to realize that's an irrational fear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we all do shit like that. We all feel that way.
Yeah,
we all have crazy things that come in our head.
We're like, you know, afraid about. But I think that the minute that you let that stuff go, the hotter the sex will be.
You know what's really made me feel very confident with my vagina is Lowe's pH Balance Cleanser.
Thanks, girl.
And I take that probiotic.
Thanks, girl.
I'm a love wellness girl.
And you can get a discount today.
Today only.
Monday 25. And go to Greta's show tomorrow. And follow me on Instagram.
Okay, do we have time for one more question? I think we have time for one more question.
Yep.
You had another sexy question pulled up.
Oh, yeah, I did. Where did it go? I just lost it. Hold on. Okay. Here is... Here's the QQ for you guys. The question is, if I could just find it again, which I will. Okay. Our listener is 21, and she is dating a woman, and I'm trying to find the email because I want the exact words, but I can't seem to find it right now. But here's the deal. Dating a woman, 21, she's like really into this girl. They have great sex. However, her partner is not into having period sex and their cycles aren't synced. Mm-hmm. So they go pretty much 2 weeks every month not having sex. And she wants to know how she should bring up, you know, having period sex and what we do on our periods, etc. And while you guys deliberate, I'm going to find it.
Okay.
I think it's a conversation you have with your partner. Like, I don't think it's something that, like, in the moment you're like, this is happening. Like, do you want to do this? Like, I think it's like, you're like, hey, how do you feel about this? Like, I personally would be okay with this. What are you okay with? That sort of thing.
Oh, I found it.
Yeah.
My partner never wants to have sex in her periods. We are not linked up, so that makes 2 weeks out of the month sexless. I understand that she prefers to avoid it during that time for cramping and pain, which is fine with me. However, I personally always feel 10 times hornier on my period. I guess I don't really know how to go about asking her to get down and dirty with me when I'm bleeding because it's not something she has ever done in past relationships. Okay. I'm not asking to be eaten out or anything, just simply still embraced in a sexual way. We both have high libidos. When it comes to this, she's left standing on her own. Masturbation is no issue, but frankly, she'd rather be intimate with her lover.
I also think that you should tell your lover that it helps reduce cramps to be sexual.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
It does. So if you, that's why a lot of people like to masturbate when they're on their period, because it reduces the pain.
Oh, wow. I had no idea.
Yeah. Or like to hook up on their period. So I think that's an educational fact that's fun, exciting, and great for the body. But yeah, I think it's a conversation. I think it's like you have to bring it up and be like, I would like to try this. Like, what are you comfortable with? What are the beginning steps? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Definitely. It's definitely a conversation. And I think it's a conversation both ways. Like, she might be comfortable doing XYZ to you when you're on your period, but she might not be comfortable with you doing XYZ to her when she's on her period. And so I think it's about both of you establishing boundaries in a reasonable, calm conversation. And the reality is, at the end of the day, her body is her body. And if she has some kind of discomfort over certain things, there's kind of a line that you can't cross. And you have to understand that it's not about you at all. It's about their own, own comfort level. And it's about their own boundaries. And, you know, like, you can't cross that line with people. Like,
yeah.
You can work to... have them work through whatever they're uncomfortable about. But I think that just like trying to impress stuff upon them is like not the way to go about doing it, which I'm not saying that you're doing that. But I think that establishing boundaries and sticking to them is really, really important, especially when it comes to somebody's body and the way that they feel. And I think you guys need to have a conversation about why it makes her uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, she said that they have pretty good communication. So yeah. I think that this conversation is definitely something that should be 100% on the table.
Totally. I agree. And it could just be something as simple as, like, you know, she is embarrassed about the way that, like, her period smells or whatever. And, like, if that's it, you can reassure her, like, it doesn't matter to me. Like, I love you and I love the way it smells or whatever. You know what I mean? You never know what the real underlying reason is. And so I think it's important to have that conversation.
I agree. All right. Are we done? How do we feel?
I have a great lady loving this week.
You do?
Who is it?
My lady loving is Adi Bryant.
Oh.
From SNL.
Love
her. I think she's so funny and smart and entertaining. And she just got married this weekend.
Great.
And you know I love true love.
We should get her on our show.
My favorite thing about Adi Bryant, the last thing she did was the Cardi B sketch where she called herself ADB. And she was just like talking like she was Cardi B. And they're like, what?
Okay.
It was really, really funny. I highly suggest that you look it up on the internet.
Great.
Well, what a beautiful time. Jilly, thanks for coming out to LA.
Woo-hoo. Of course, guys. You'll be seeing more of me.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, you guys. Subscribe, heart, listen, like, follow.
Yeah, do it all.
All those things. All those jazzy things.
All right.
Thanks, everyone.
All right, we'll catch you next Monday.
Bye. Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.